chapter 3. It's a long chapter. Has a lot of stuff in it. Okay? Again, the chapter is not about a historical view of this book. It's about the spiritual things that go on within us and in our lives. Okay? If we look at it historically, we will never come to the knowledge of the truth that God is trying to reveal to us. We can memorize this book as a historical book, and it will still never change us. There are many people that can quote this book nearly verbatim from Genesis to Revelation, and they still don't have a relationship with God. There's a lot of secular people who don't even believe this is God's book, but they still read it, and they still memorize it, and they quote the words, but they don't have the relationship with their Father. So we have to get to this point where we understand that this is about something going on inside, where God dwells as an internal God. He's not an external God. We get those points really drilled into our heart, we can go on and do things with God. Right? I didn't say for him, I said with him. We can do things with God. Okay? Chapter 3, verse 1. Now there was a long war between the house of Saul and the house of David, but David waxed stronger and stronger, and the house of Saul waxed weaker and weaker. And then until David, and unto David were sons born in Hebron. His firstborn was Amnon of Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess, and his second, Chileab of Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite, and the third was Absalom, the son of Maacah, the daughter of Timaiah, king of Geshur. The fourth was Adoniah, the son of Haggith. The fifth was Shephatiah, the son of Ahitau. The sixth was Ithream by Eglah, David's wife. These were born to David in Hebron. And it came to pass, while there was war between the house of Saul and the house of David, that Abner made himself strong for the house of Saul. And Saul had a concubine whose name was Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah. And Ishbosheth said to Abner, "Wherefore hast thou gone into my father's concubine?" Then was Abner very wroth for the words of Ishbosheth, and said, "Am I a dog's head, which against Judah do show kindness this day unto the house of Saul thy father, to his brethren and to his friends?" Just a second. Okay. "And have not delivered you into the hand of David, that thou chargest me today with a fault concerning this woman? So do God to Abner and more also, except as the Lord has sworn to David, even so I do to him. To translate the kingdom from the house of Saul and to set up the house of Saul, excuse me, set up the throne of David over Israel and over Judah from Dan even to Beersheba." And he could not answer Abner a word again because he feared him. And Abner sent messages to David on his behalf saying, "Whose is the land?" Saying also, make thy league with me, and behold, my hand shall be with you to bring about all of Israel to you." And he said, I will make a league with you. But one thing I require of you, and that is, thou shalt not see my face except that you first bring Michal, Saul's daughter, when thou comest to see my face." And David sent messengers to Ishbosheth, Saul's son, saying, "Deliver me my wife, Michal, which I espoused to me for 100 foreskins of the Philistines." And Ishbosheth sent and took her and her husband, even from Phaethel, the son of Laish. And her husband went with her along, weeping behind her to Bahurim. Then said Abner to him, "Go, return," and he returned. And Abner had a communication with the elders of Israel, saying, "You sought for David in times past to be king over you. Now then do it. For the Lord has spoken of David, saying, 'By the hand of my servant David I will save my people Israel out of the hand of the Philistines and out of the hand of all their enemies.' And Abner also spoke to in the ears of Benjamin, and Abner went also to speak to the ears of David in Hebron, all that seemed good in Israel and that seemed good to the whole house of Benjamin. So Abner came to David to Hebron, and 20 men with him. And David made Abner and the men that were with him a feast. And Abner said to David, 'I will rise and go and will gather all Israel to my lord the king.' that they may make a league with you, and that thou mayest reign over all thine heart desires. And David sent Abner away, and he went in peace. And behold, the servants of David and Joab came from pursuing a troop and brought in a great spoil with them. But Abner was not with David in Hebron, for he had sent him away, and he was gone in peace. When Joab and all the host that was in with him were come, they told Joab, saying, Abner the son of Ner came to the king, and he has sent him away, and he is gone in peace. And Joab came to the king and said, What have you done? Behold, Abner came to you. Why is it that you have sent him away, and he is gone? You know Abner the son of Ner, that he came to deceive you, and to know you're going in and going out and coming in, and to know all that you doest. And when Joab was come out from David, he sent messengers after Abner, which brought him again from the well of Seirah, but David knew it not. And when Abner was returned to Hebron, Joab took him aside in the gate to speak with him quietly, and smote him under the fifth rib, that he died for the blood of Ishiel his brother. And after then David heard it, he said, I and my kingdom are guiltless before the Lord forever, from the blood of Abner the son of Ner. Let it rest on the head of Joab, and let it and on all the, his father's house, and let there not fail from the house of Joab one that has an issue, or that is a leper, or that leans on a staff, or that falls on the sword, or that lacks bread. So Joab and Abishai, his brother, slew Abner because he had slain their brother Ishiel at Gibeon in the battle. And David said to Joab and to all the people that were with him, Rend your clothes and gird you with sackcloth and mourn before Abner. And King David himself followed the bier. And they buried Abner in Hebron. And the king lifted up his voice and wept at the grave of Abner, and all the people wept. And the king lamented over Abner and said, Died Abner as a fool dies? Thy hands were not bound, nor thy feet put into fetters, as a man falls before the wicked man. So fellest thou. And all the people wept again over him. And when all the people came to cause David to eat meat while it was yet day, David sware, saying, So do God to me and more also, if I taste bread or aught else, till the sun be down. And all the people took notice of it, and it pleased them, as whatsoever the king did pleased all the people. For all the people and all Israel understood that day that it was not of the king to slay Abner the son of Ner. And the king said unto his servants, Know ye not that there is a prince and a great man fallen this day in Israel? And I am this day weak, though anointed king, and these men, the son of Zeruiah, be too hard for me. The Lord shall reward the doer of evil according to his wickedness. Whew. Mouthful. Let's go back and see what we can get out of this. We all know that this book was written as a great letter, a giant writing. It wasn't broken down in chapters and verses as we see it today for our convenience. So if we back up into the last verse of the last chapter, it said they took up Ishiel, their brother, and buried him in the sepulcher of his father, which was in Bethlehem, the house of bread. And Joab and his men went all night, and they came to Hebron at the break of day. Who does Joab represent? Mm-hmm. He's one of the brothers, okay, but he was fathered by who? Yahweh. He's God-fathered, right? And it said they went all night and they came to Hebron at the break of day. What would that tell you? They traveled their whole life in what time of day? What time of darkness, ignorance? They traveled through that. And at the end of the darkness, when the day star rose, where were they at? And what is Hebron? The seat of association. So your association comes after your time of ignorance in our life. We travel most of our life in ignorance. Majority of people travel in ignorance of God, so it doesn't come to them until after the day star rises in their heart. And then it starts out the next chapter with now. Now when? Now after the day star has risen. Okay? Now there was a long war between the house of Saul and the house of David. Saul is an Edomite, representing the Adamic nature, the natural side, the carnal mind, the carnal man. and the house of David, which is Christ or first fruit. He said, so there's been a long war. Hello, there's always been war between them two. Doesn't it say the natural man can receive nothing from the Spirit of God because it is spiritually discerned? Okay. So this big war went on. But here's the great part about this verse. Look at the last part of this verse. It's not worded exactly as it says in the King James, but it should state it this way. But David walked stronger or powerfully, and the house of Saul walked what? Weaker. Hello, look. The house of David does what? Gets stronger. The house of Saul does what? Didn't Paul say this? I must decrease and he must increase. So did also who say that? John the Baptist. It's a pattern. If we're going to serve God, the house of Saul has to decrease in our life and the house of Christ must increase. Has to be that way. Not because I said so, because the book says so, because God says so. You will get stronger. Dispels the darkness and the light gets brighter. And to David were born sons, where? Now, he had six sons born in Hebron, a seat of association. When you come to a place of association with God, when you come to oneness with God, just like in the new tabernacle, when the altar of incense is moved not from the holy place but into the holy of holies, guess what you do? You become one with the Father, and there's where the fruitfulness begins. David had six sons, and they were all born to him in a place called Hebron, the seat of association. I don't think that's a coincidence that six of them were born. Guess what? There's still carnality in there, isn't there? There was still a war going on, wasn't there? Had he come to total peace yet? No. When we just get started into this, when we come to the Feast of Tabernacles, guess what? We come to the Holy of Holies. It's still just a beginning. Just because we've walked to the place of tabernacles on Mount Zion does not mean we have got to the top of the mountain yet, does it? We've still got something to experience in our life to get us there. And although David was chosen, he was a man who loved God. He said he was a man after his own heart. Didn't God say those words? So guess what? Even though you love God with all your heart, does that mean you're not going to make mistakes? We need to learn that sometimes in our process, we have to let God do what He wants to do in our life. Just because we don't think somebody should be doing something doesn't mean that God doesn't want it done, does it? He never asked us to take a vote on it and see what would be popular with us. If God would bring His Word and vote on it in the churches today, probably about 90% of God's Word would be voted down for their opinion. Isn't that true? It wouldn't be politically correct for their church doctrine. See? Absolutely, but their doctrine is more important to them. So, just like when God told Hosea the prophet, go marry you a prostitute. Oh God, that would have broke all the Jews' hearts because they weren't supposed to touch an unclean woman. He said, go have you marry your woman, and guess what? Have children. And he did. And it was nothing but problems. Okay? So when you get tied up in the soulish realm, you're going to have problems. And here's what David did here. But in this seat of association, in the second verse, his firstborn was Amnon. Do you know what that name represents? Faithfulness. His first son was faithful. And he was born of Ahinoam, which means what? Or pleasantness. See? Or pleasantness. And she was a Jezreelitess. And that word Jezreelite, it means sown of God. So this seed was sown in her of God, wasn't it? Was it of David? No, it was of God. And his second was Chileab, which means restraint of the father or like his father. And he was born of Abigail, which means father of joy. And she was the wife of Nabal, which means fool. And she was a Carmelite. And that means it was an inhabitant of the garden. And you know, there was a woman in the garden that created a problem. Oh, yes, she did. It wasn't Adam that caused the problem. It was the woman. And we're not talking male and female here. We're talking about soulish versus spirit. So this woman in our garden, and we're all gardens, right? creates a problem. And the third one was Absalom, which is the father of peace. And it was the son of Maacah, which is depression or oppression. You know, sometimes things that father does, this peace thing that God brings to us, you're going to go through a lot of oppression or depression to get there, aren't you? Do you know how many times your mind's going to scream bloody murder for the things God puts us through? Every one of us can say amen to that, can't we? Right? And the daughter of Talmai, what does that mean? Furrowed, she's been plowed. The king of Geshur, which means the proud beholder. The fourth is Adoniah. Adoniah means worshiper of God. The son of Haggith, and that means festive. So there's a lot of festivity going around the Jewish worship, wasn't there? And the fifth was who? Shephatiah. And his name means what? God has judged. The son of Ahitel. Right? What does it mean? My father is the dew. My father is the dew. Or the anointing, huh? And the sixth is Ithream. And that speaks of what? Excellence or the remnant. And he was born by who? Eglah the heifer. Now, he's not talking that she's a big fat heifer. No, he's not saying something like that. What's he saying? No. What is heifer? What is a heifer? Somebody tell me what a heifer is. No. A female. It's a young female. It's a young, but it's female. Heifer. Honey, but you can't say baby cow without getting the female. It's a girl one in here. The reason representing soulish side, it's not just the male. If you say just baby cow, it could be male. A baby cow can't be male or female. A young cow or a calf. Well, but a heifer is a young cow that has not come fresh yet. Okay? Okay. These were born to David where? In Hebron. Okay? And that's the seat of association. If you're not associated, you probably won't have any children. There's a little association goes in there to make some children, don't it? And it came to pass while there was war between the house of Saul, that's the Adamic side, and the house of David, Christ, that Abner made himself strong for the house of Saul. Abner speaks of the name is, my father is the lamp or the light, okay? For the house of Saul. I wonder what the house of Saul is. The natural man. So Abner chose to go that way. Many people will. A lot of times when we think we're serving God, what are we serving? We're serving ourselves. See, what's the motive behind what we're doing? When we're doing anything for God for the purpose of salvaging something for myself, trying to save me from going to hell, save me from punishment, guess what? I'm not doing it for the right reason. The only reason you serve or do anything for God is because you love Him. It's not because of the retaliation or the fear that you have been placed in because of the church realm and the ignorance that they've taught. You come to God because you love Him. God is love, according to this book, and everything I know about Him, He is love. And Saul had a concubine. The word concubine here comes from a Hebrew word, paramour. Okay, does anybody know what this word paramour means? It speaks of a woman who has, can be a man, But it speaks of someone who has regular, non-marital sexual relationship. Okay? What it says in the language. And her name was Rizpah. Now, what's that mean? Anybody know? Well, that's not a good rendering of it. It says pavement, or it says bed, or a hot stone, or a live coal. Okay? Now, you can go just a funny side if you want to. There's some things there that could lead you off on the almost comical side about it. That she was a hot stone. She was a live coal, the daughter of Ai, right? You know what Ai represents? A screamer. Yeah.
Screamer or screamer?
Screamer.
Holler.
Yeah, like holler. Yeah, holler. It can mean falcon or screamer. Okay? So she was a hot stone, a live coal, a screamer. And Ishbosheth, the man of what? Now that word is italicized, but it literally does fit in there. I don't think it hurts the context at all, because if you read the rest of it in the next verses, you'll find out. No. Yeah. He had him a hot woman. Live wire. Live coal.
I always thought she had compromised men a lot of women.
No.
They had a use for sexual pleasure.
No.
That's not
true. No.
So I learned something today.
Good. That's wonderful. Okay. And Ishbosheth, the man of shame, said to Abner, who Abner says his father is the father of light. Okay? Now, if Abner says that, see, he says, my father is light. Do you see something wrong with his view? It's a truth, but he's not seeing himself as part of that light. He's still working on Saul's side, isn't he? He doesn't see the identity relationship between him and God. Yeah. But anyway,
he doesn't understand where he's at.
He doesn't understand yet. Okay? He said, but Ishbosheth said to Abner, wherefore have you gone into unto my father's concubine? He said, what are you doing messing with my father's woman? Well, his natural father's dead. And Abner was very wroth or angry with the words of Ishbosheth and said, am I a dog's head? And now this word dog's head doesn't mean what it says. The word dog there literally means a male prostitute. Am I a male prostitute? Which against Judah do show kindness this day to the house of Saul thy father and his brethren and to his friends? He said, I'm doing good to you, and your father's dead, and just because I took his wife, he's dead and gone, now you're going to give me some static. Isn't that way people like to work things? And he said, I have not delivered you into the hand of David that you've charged me today with that fault concerning this woman. So do God to Abner and more also. Surely as the Lord has sworn to David, even so I do to him. To translate or to take the kingdom or the rule and realm from the house of Saul and to set it up over the throne of David over Israel. Now, when Adam had the rule to start with, did he not? In the garden. And did God not take it from him and give it to Christ, the last Adam? Okay? Okay. And he said, over the throne of David, the rule of David, over Israel, which means he'll rule as God, over Judah, the celebrated, from Dan, that speaks of judgment, even to Beersheba, to the new covenant, to the covenant. Beersheba means covenant, the well of covenant or oath. So he said, all the way from the judgment until the covenant, the new covenant, who's going to rule over the house of Israel? David, which represents Christ. So all the way, even from the time of judgment, where was the time of judgment? Someone tell me the time of judgment. When did it begin? Judgment began in the garden. In the garden, when God said, if you eat of this tree, you shall surely die. That was the first judgment cast upon this earth. Because when when Adam and Eve partook of the tree, judgment fell upon man. See? So judgment began at the garden, didn't it? Judge or judgment. And after Abner said these things, he said in verse 11, he could not answer Abner a word because he feared him. Guess what? It said that Abner was making himself strong in the house of Saul. He wasn't representing his father God, was he? So why are we afraid of something? It's not of God, is it? It's not God-given, is it? It's in our minds. And Abner sent messengers. This word messenger here is the same word that's translated in all the places about little fat naked babies. Angels. Okay? Same word, Malach, 4397 in your Strong's Hebrew dictionary. To David on this behalf saying, whose is the land? Saying also, make thy covenant with me, and behold, my hand shall be with you to bring about all Israel to you. And David said this way, well, good, I'll make a covenant with you, but one thing I require of you, and that is you shall not see my face except you first bring Michael. What does Michael mean? Or what? A small stream. What would that mean, a small stream? Huh? Yeah, but just a very small one. Very small one. He said, you got to bring Michael, Saul's daughter, when you come to see my face. And David sent messengers to Ishbosheth, the man of shame, and said, deliver me my wife, Michael, which I espoused to me for 100 foreskins of the Philistines. Now, what would that represent? He said, I got my woman by killing 100 Philistines. What would it mean to you? Beg your pardon? It was an extreme price, and when it was given to him, when King Saul wanted 100 foreskins of the Philistines, he figured it would get David killed. But it didn't work. In the parable of the 90 and 9, there was 100 which represented something. What did it represent? All of humanity. So he says, I want 100 foreskins. You know what David accomplished there? He slayed his Philistines in his land. All of them. But did he realize it at one time? Did he realize what he had done? I say no. That's why he still had to walk it out, right? It was already accomplished for us, was it not? Have we walked it out yet? We're in the process of doing it. That's the same thing that's going on in David's life. He accomplished what he had to do for his marriage to his woman, didn't he? To take care of her. But he still lost her in the process, and it's all mind things. We'll get to that later on as the chapters progress. And Ishbosheth sent and took her from her husband, even from Phetel, the son of Laish. What does Phetel represent? Phetel. God delivers, or deliverance of God. Delivered by God. The son of Laish, which means what? The lion. Mm-hmm. Which way could that be? Positive or negative, it can be, can't it? But here I see it as a negative thing. The man of shame is running the show. Takes it from faith, he held one delivered by God. God delivered a lot of people that were good and bad, didn't he? And her husband went with her, along weeping behind her, to Bahurim. What does that mean? Bahurim means choice. He thought he had a choice, didn't he? He chose her. It was his choice, but wasn't she already spoken for? Wasn't she already betrothed to David? Correct? And Abner, I went too far. And Laish is the lion. Okay. Okay, Bahurim. There you go. And Abner, then said Abner to him, go return, he returned. Who does Abner represent? What's speaking to Abner? Would you say that's the Christ, or was it the man of shame? Met the man of shame. Okay. And he returned. And Abner had communication with the elders of Israel, saying, now the man of the elders of Israel, who is that represent? The elders of Israel represented the old order. Okay, the church realm. See, the religious realm within us. I'm not saying that religious is a good thing, it's a negative thing. Saying, you sought for David in times past to be king over you. Now then, do it, because the Lord has spoken of David, saying, by the hand of the servant David I will save, right? My people Israel out of the hand of the Philistines and out of the hand of all their enemy. Now, there's something here I want to show you. The word past in verse 17. It's amazing what it really says. It says, Abner had communication with the elders of Israel, saying, you sought for David in times past. You know what the word really says? The day before yesterday. Now, if we think a minute, let's look up here at the board a minute. I'm going to write something on the board so you can see it. It said times past. This is what the language says. And that's not totally incorrect, but it does not reveal what the language says. It says the day, and we'll put down one, before yesterday. And so that would have to leave something else, wouldn't it? It has to be 3 days we're talking about, doesn't it? Now, why would that be hidden in there like that? So he said, here's the day they're standing in, and the day before yesterday, which would be this day, isn't it? What day would that be? The first day. Wonder what day that would be. Your Passover experience. Right. And when we first come in, what do? Don't we say, oh, we want him to come and take our lives, don't we? Even internally, we say those things, don't we? Yeah, in the first realm. See, that was the first experience with them. They say these things, but then comes the day of responsibility. And guess what? Changes everything, doesn't it? Changes everything when we come to that day of responsibility. But that's hidden in that little word past, okay? And in the 18th verse, I did it, but I'll do it again. It said, now then, do it. If you're seeking after him, he said, do what? Do it. Make him king over your land. Make him king in your life. Because the Lord has spoken of David, saying, by the hand of my servant David, which is Christ, I will deliver my people out of the land of the Philistines and out of the hand of what? All their enemies. Literally it says, I'll deliver them totally from the adversary. I'll deliver them totally from the adversary. That ought to make you happy. See? Because he didn't say you had to deliver yourself, did he? He will deliver you totally from the hand of the enemy, the adversary, which is just your carnal mind. And Abner also spoke in the ears of Benjamin, the son of the right hand. And Abner went also to speak in the ears of David in Hebron, in the place of association. And all that appeared good, appeared good in the eyes of Israel, and all that appeared good in the eyes of the whole house of Benjamin, that's what they did. So Abner came to David in Hebron, and 20 with him. And David made Abner and the men that were with him a feast. Right? And Abner said to David, I will rise and go and will gather all Israel to my lord the king, that they may, what? Make a league? Literally, it is cut a covenant, that they may cut a covenant with you, that you may reign over all your what? All that your what desires. It's not heart. It's the word nephesh, means soul. All that your soul desires. And David sent Abner away and he went in peace. It wasn't about a spiritual thing. He said, all that your soul desires. Now, is your soul a good desire or a carnal or fleshly desire? It's a fleshly desire. So all your flesh desires, you can rule over all you want to. And behold, the servants of David and Joab came from pursuing a troop and brought in a great spoil with them, but Abner was not with David in Hebron, in a place of association, because he had sent him away and he was gone in peace. And when Joab and all the host that was with him were come, they told Joab, saying, Abner the son of Ner came to the king, and he has sent him away, and he is gone in peace. Then Joab came to the king and said, what have you done? Behold, Abner came to see you. Why is it that you have sent him away, and he is already gone? Who does Joab represent? Yet immature. How many times do young, immature people challenge someone seated over them, challenge the king? Not the first fruit, but... You see what I'm saying? In our immaturity, we challenge our king. Did he say it's bad? Now, in the natural realm, if you get into church realms, if you come up as a young Christian and you challenge a pastor, of course, that's a bad thing to them. You're not supposed to challenge pastors. Okay? That's what they say. Not true. But here it shows that they came and challenged David, who was a type of who? Christ. He was challenged by the first fruit coming up after him, wasn't he? Did he get angry with him? David was king. If you understand what a king is sovereign. His word means life and death to you. And Joab still challenged him out of his immaturity. Didn't have the respect he should have had for him, did he? What did you start to say? Sure it is. And we challenge, but see, that's the grace and mercy of God. That's the reconciliation of God. He doesn't worry about the mistakes we make. We learn by our mistakes. And this is grace and mercy here at work. Okay? But he comes in and questions the king. Not a good thing. He said, you know Abner the son of Ner, that he came to deceive you, and to know you're going out and you're coming in, to know all that you do. And when Joab was come out from David, he sent messengers after Abner, which brought him again from the well of Seraw, but David knew it not. How many times have we jumped in and tried to help God? How many times in our mind do we jump in and think out something that was better than what God had planned? Huh? Most of the time we try to figure out things ahead of our king, don't we? So we jump in there. And this is what he did. This is the first fruit jumped out there, and they took the messengers sent out by Abner, and they brought back Joab. Who did they bring? They brought back Abner, which brought him again from the well of Seraw, which is the well of departure. But David knew it not. Well, this Seraw probably wasn't very far down the road, was it? It was a place of departure. But you know what? He never even got that far. He was departing here shortly anyway from this whole world. And Abner was returned to Hebron to Joab. Joab took him aside to the gate to speak with him, not quietly, but privately. And he smote him here under the fifth rib, and the word fifth rib is not there. It should be in the abdomen or belly, that he died because of the blood of Asahel, his brother. Okay? And afterwards, when David, which represents Christ, you know, heard it, he said, I and my kingdom are what? Or innocent. Before the Lord forever, from the blood of Abner, the son of Ner. Let it rest on the head of Joab. Now here's a heavy one. Watch what he says is going on. Let it rest on the head of Joab, right? And on all his father's house, and let there not fail or be cut off from the house of Joab, one that has an issue. That's talking about a disease, issues of blood, you know, running sores and sickness and disease. He said, the house of Joab will never be free from this issue of this discharge and sores. Or that is a leper. What does leprosy represent? Sin. It represents the corruption of the body. Or that leans on a staff. Now you can look at that, people think, well, that's a good thing. No, don't be deceived. It says lean on a crutch. What does that represent? Your lifestyle is not straight, is it? You won't walk straight. Your lifestyle's messed up. You're leaning on a piece of wood of humanity. Or that falls upon the sword. What would that mean to you? Some people would say, like Saul fell on a sword. He committed what? Suicide. But that's not exactly what he's talking about, but yet it's, spiritually it is. Because everybody just about on the face of the earth today does the same thing. They fall upon the sword, the word of God. You know what they do? They're destroying themselves. Well, some of them do, but they still fall on the word of God and kill themselves with it. There's power of life and death in the tongue, in the word of God, isn't there? The same word that makes alive can kill, can it? So they fall on the sword and they do actually physically destroy themselves, don't they? So could you say that is suicide spiritually?
Or into the root, or into the spirit.
Same thing. It's taking you to the same place, isn't it? If you're destroying yourself, you're killing yourself by falling upon the word. Or that lacks what? Bread, or literally the word of God, which would be faith. So Joab and Abishai his brother slew Abner because he had slain the brother Asahel at Gibeon. Now notice where he was slain. He was slain in Gibeon, wasn't he? What does Gibeon represent? It's a hill or a rocky place, a little high place, just a little hill, not a big hill, not a mountain, it's just a hill. And it speaks of religion. Gibeah speaks of religion. It's a little hill, a little high place. And David said to Joab and to all the people that were with him, rend your clothes and gird you with sackcloth and mourn before Abner. What's he telling him to do? Humble yourself and grieve for this man. And King David himself followed the coffin. And they buried Abner in Hebron. That's the place of association with God. And the king lifted up his voice and wept at the grave of Abner, and all the people wept. And the king lamented and wailed in grief over Abner and said, died Abner as a fool dies? You know what this word fool here is? Nabal. Nabal. He didn't say fool, but he did. He said, died Abner as Nabal died? Nabal died as a fool, didn't he? But did he die the same way? He said, your hands were not bound, and your feet were not put into fetters as a man falls before the evil sons. So fellest you. And all the people wept again over him. And when all the people came to cause David to eat food or bread, while it was yet day, David sware, saying, so do God to me and more also, if I taste bread or aught else till the sun be down. And all the people took notice of it, and it pleased them, as whatsoever the king did pleased all the people. Now, why did he say this in verse 35? I had to back up because something kicked in me. I missed the first time through. So do to God to me and more if I taste bread or anything else till the sun be down. How did the days begin in the book of Genesis? Evening and the morning was a day. The day begins in the evening. The sun has to go down and come back up before it was daytime. Till the day was over, right? So he said, till the sun be down. So he's saying, this has to go down. This darkness has to come upon the earth. Do you know what? I see crucifixion in this. Because when Jesus was on the cross, what happened? a great darkness fell upon the earth. Clouds came over, covered everything up, didn't they? So he was talking about darkness. There has to be a great ignorance come upon the earth so we can really appreciate eating this food again. Kingdom comes until I do it in the kingdom with you. And the king said to his servants, "Know ye not that there is a prince and a great man fallen to this day in Israel? And I am this day, though anointed king, and these men, the sons of Zeruiah," right? What does Zeruiah mean? The wounded, okay, or the balsam, or the salve. He said, "They're too hard for me." Literally, it doesn't say that. It says, "They're too severe to be out of me." They're too severe to be out of me. What's he saying? He's saying, I don't know if them's my sons. Yeah, but they're not. They're too severe to be my sons. David's saying, my heart isn't that wicked. He was type of Christ, wasn't he? And he said, I didn't produce them sons. Yeah, this is a new day. But you know what? Jesus said something in the Gospels. He said, you're of your father the devil. Guess what? John 8:44. He said, you're of your father the devil. Don't you think some of these that he's talking about the devil is what your mind created on you? You were created by your carnal minds, and you done something. You went out and killed your brother. He was a brother to him. He's part of the family of God, wasn't he? He said he was a prince in Israel. And then he goes on and says, he says, too hard for me, too severe to be out of me, these people are. The Lord shall reward the doer of evil according to his evil. And there's a bunch of verses, and I'm going to read some of them to you. There's about 6 or 7 verses here. If you want to, I'll just give them to you. If you want to write them down, look at them about this reward thing here at the end of the verse 39. Psalm 62:12. Okay, Psalm 62:12. Proverbs 24:12. Isaiah 3:10. Jeremiah 17:10. Jeremiah 32:19. And then I got a few in the New Testament. Matthew 27:16. Romans 2:6. And Revelation 22:12. And I want to read a couple of them. Psalms 62:12. Go there first. To show you this thing about rewards.
What was it? Psalms, Proverbs, what was that today?
Psalms and Proverbs, and then Isaiah 3:10.
Okay.
And then Jeremiah. And Jeremiah 32:19.
Yeah,
okay. Matthew 27:16.
Yeah.
And Romans 2:6. And Revelation 22:12. These all speak about the, and you could put this all together and under some, a lot more about the rewards. Okay? In Psalm 62:12 it says, also to you, O Lord, belongs mercy, for you render to every man according to his work. So how are we going to receive something? And see, the church world has this great idea. It'd be wonderful, but it's just not the truth. that when you die, you just go to heaven and you get all the crowns and the jewels and you get all this great stuff. Does it say that? It says you'll be rewarded according to your work. What have you accomplished here? And it's not what you've accomplished on your own, but how obedient have you been to what God's asked you to do and accomplish in that? No. By the works that you do according to what God has told you to do. In Proverbs 24, according to his purpose, absolutely. Proverbs 24, 12. It says, if you say, behold, we knew it not, does not he that ponders the heart consider it? And he that keeps your soul, does he not know it? And shall not he render to every man according to his works? You can't tell God, well, I didn't know or I didn't understand. He knows what you knew and what you understood, doesn't he? Isaiah, right? 3:10. Say ye to the righteous that it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. Woe to the wicked, it shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hands shall be given him. Right? Jeremiah 17:10. I quote that Jeremiah 17:9 all the time. We read verse 9 and 10. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins or the innermost parts, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings or his work. Okay? It's 32:19. Jeremiah 32:19. Great in counsel and mighty in work, for your eyes are open upon all the ways of the sons of men, to give every one according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings or his works. Same thing again. Matthew 27, 16. And they had then a notable, I said 27:16, didn't I? Did I do something right, wrong? That didn't fit right. Yeah, that's the wrong place. I think I did a wrong chapter. Let me go back and look at 26. No? Man, I missed that. Oh, 17:26, I'll bet you. Set it backwards. I think I got dyslexic on you a minute there, Bob. Yeah. That still doesn't hit it right. No, it's 16:27. There it is. Yeah, I was dyslexic. It's 16:27. That's what it is. I said it totally backwards. Excuse me for that.
You might be dyslexic.
There must have been. I said it totally backwards.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not, but I did it anyway. I still did it. Okay, verse 16:27 of Matthew, chapter 16, verse 27. Because the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father in his angels or messengers, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Then we go on to Romans chapter 2, verse 6. Chapter 2, verse 6. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them that commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judges them which do such things, and does the same, that you shall escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, and not knowing the goodness of God leads to repentance? Keep going. We'll get there in a minute. And after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasure up to yourself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds or works. Correct? And then we'll go into Revelation 22:12. Last book. 22:12. This is Jesus speaking here, and he says, "Behold, I come quickly," or appear suddenly, "and my reward is within in the midst of me to give every man according to his work." As according as his work be, not shall be. The word shall shouldn't be there. Okay? So, guess what? You got to watch what you do. You got to watch what you do, because what you do brings a reward. Galatians 6 says what? God is not mocked. Man will reap what he sows. If he sows to the flesh, he'll reap corruption. If he sows to the spirit, he'll reap the life of the ages. So what we sow, we will reap. But we can't just go out and do, can we? We have to hear what God wants before we do anything. Yeah. Only what our Father tells us to do, that's what we do. We don't do it just because it seems like a good thing. We do it when God tells us to do it. Because timing is as important as everything, isn't it? It's as important as anything else. Suppose people had tried to do the things they did in the New Covenant if Jesus had not yet died. Would it work? It wouldn't work, would it? That's what I'm saying. Timing is everything. If timing is important to God in the beginning, guess what? It's still important. It's all about His timing, His plans, His purposes that will prevail. And that's it. Any questions?